Hi, Eberhard. Yes, thank you. Today we have on the call Barack Otieno, Debbie Monahan, Eberhard Lise, Martin Boyle, Nanet Orlik, Peter Cook, Stephen Deerhake. Apologies from Peter Van Rasta, Alan McGillivray, Michaeli Nalon, Anne Catherine Markison, and Nigel Roberts. As a reminder, these calls are recorded and transcribed. Please state your name before speaking for purposes of the transcript and keep your phones and microphones muted to avoid any background noise. Thank you, and back to you, Eberhard.
Okay, thanks. Should I drop off because I'm calling it with Gilisip? Stephen can carry on running it. Action items. Can you please report on the action items?
Yes, I will. This is Bart for the record. So the document scenario 2 has been circulated and completed. Working method document has been turned by Eberhard and recirculated, and the secretariat has been working on a two scenarios for the calls post San Juan on a 6 hours and 8 hours rotation scheme, and avoiding this time for a call, so the 1 a.m. UTC calls. As soon as say the chair and vice chair have agreed, we'll circulate this so it can be decided at the San Juan meeting. But that was with respect to the action items. And one more, Nenat, he noted from the notes that he would send language to be included in the scenario 2, and he has circulated it just before the call to the list. Back to you, Eva.
Scenario or working methods? Not a problem. We'll figure it out when I'm awake, and I will edit to the document as an inline markup, and then we can approve it on the next reading. Okay. Let's put up scenario two document. We will discuss the hours under any other business. Okay. Any comments regarding that? Now is your chance. I don't see any hands.
Stephen has his hand up. Stephen?
Stephen and then Nenat. Eberhard, I'm happy with this as it now reads. So.
And Eberhard?
Okay. Nenat had a hand up very shortly.
I've sent a text. Sorry for being late. Frankly, I was skiing and totally forgot when is what. There is a part that on the line I gave additional text. I proposed additional text to be inserted in a part of the retirement of you domain. And I think I may have missed the line. Now I'm looking at it again. Is this the same document that was circulated? Sorry. Just a second. It's not the same document. Did I make a mistake? It's not the same document.
Don't worry. Submit it to the list. But can you give us a short abbreviation of what you want to propose?
Yeah, I propose to enter the consequences of the domain retirement that was dropping traffic for the certain domain names, for all domain names, because links were became defunct to the website with the old addresses, yeah, and website searches gave wrong wrong links for websites, and it produced visible drop in traffic. And the other consequence was that because of the list of domain names that were reserved for the registry and for the state, some of websites that had substantial number of users became unavailable, users lost them. Those were the rules, those things. I did not agree with them, but they are such. Also, what I wanted to speak about is the part that says that might be important, and as, like, and as I said, I don't think everything is for the record, that there is a line now, it's the line now, this is switched on the text that I was looking, the number of lines. It says number 152153 is based on reports available. It is not clear what is meant. Regarding the raised point by the managing board of RENITS or the ICANN for better guidance in the future of how the process of retiring CCTLDs should be concluded, I was a member of the board, and I was one of the signatories of that demand. And I know very well exactly what it meant. It's a long story. and I was not sure. I was like, should I replace one that sentence with a long story? And I decided not to. Question is, do you want a side document explaining this for your reference? Maybe you may find something important for the process in it. Or how do you think it's appropriate to proceed regarding this?
I am putting all documents that we are referring in a bibliography from which cited in any document. So if you have documents that are relevant, send the link, send the documents, so that we can refer to them in the document, and my LaTeX software will automatically put the reference in the back as it is.
I checked my archives. Sorry.
What you are talking about in some detail is abbreviated as link rot. We have been discussing this in the past. It's very good that you show an example. I will paraphrase this perhaps into a little bit shorter language, but link rot is an important consequence that of a removal of a domain name, that all basically all other documents that refer to these links will arrive at broken links, and if that results in a traffic, that is a consequence that needs to be taken into consideration. I fully agree with that. So propose some language, send it to the list. I will probably paraphrase it and put it in. Send any interesting links that anybody has, send them. I keep the bibliography completely intact as a file, so that we can refer to, that we don't have to lose the documents that is in one location. That's what I mean. So later we can refer to this one location if we want to cite it. And then we have current documents. We know when they have been accessed. We know that the link is correct and so on. So this is going to work like that.
Okay. I will try to see that. Yeah?
Carry
okay.
On.
I started writing this text like more than 2 hours ago because I was consulting my archives. Just not to skip anything or give a wrong information. So I can see what is fitting to be maybe as archive material with this, to choose from it. But like I said, what I wanted to consult with you right now is the part text that said it's line in this text, it's line 152, 153, 153, 152, 153. Based on the reports available, it is not clear what is meant. I can give in detail what was meant. I am not sure, it's just for full public view.
be as detailed as possible so that we have as much information as possible. and then we can paraphrase it anyway. I also saw in your email that you referred to version 1.14. Please redo your thing and go to version and refer to the line numbers in version 1.21, so that we all have the same document and we know exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, I will revise. I will revise. I'm not sure. Okay, I will revise.
Just for your information, I've inserted, I think this is based on what Maynard said, it should be inserted in between his proposing between text line number 155 and 156. That's in the meeting notes. Another point, and this is more for the working group, and a question for Maynard is, Maynard, I believe you work from your personal archive. That's at least what I understood you said. And the question for the working group is, there is nothing pro or against, but just to be clear that people are submitting documents which are not readily publicly available. So I think that's the question that the group needs to answer, whether the group wants to include documents that are not publicly available and come from somebody's own archive. Thank you. Eberhard?
Good point.
Go ahead. Nenad, go ahead.
Good point. That was what was I was trying to say. Not everything is for public view, and I'm not sure that I could publish everything because I had access as a member of the board to the documents and information that's not public. To sort out what can be.
My view.
I need to sort out what can be. Do you hear me?
No, your line is very bad. Could you try to reconnect again?
Okay.
My view on this is that if there is a document in the private archive that can be published, send it to the list, we can put it onto the wiki, and then we can refer to it in the text on the wiki. If there is documents that cannot be published, but you have information to it, send it to the list, and we can refer to it as an opinion by a member. Okay, anybody else have comments on the scenario document version 1.21?
Peter? Ahead. Yeah, thank you. Good morning. There's one minor thing in, I think it's line 16, 17 in the very early stages of the second section or paragraph. In the ISO 3166 standard, section 7.3, and then it says Article 6 of the standard. Just for the clarity of wording, is that section 6, or do I misread this this remark?
We will revise this. We will review this and revise this. That's, I agree. I overlooked that.
No problem. Thank you.
Bart?
Yeah, you, of course you could review it, but be careful in the sense of, say, if this one is, if you really want to do it and put it in Article 7, Section 3, and then Article 6. So Section 7.3 is shorthand for Article 7, Section 3. And Article 6 is effectively the whole, the core of the standard.
We will make it unambiguous so that it is easy to refer to. Okay, anybody else? Okay, then we can move on to the next item of the agenda. Can you put up the agenda, please? Scrollable so that I can go to overall working plan. Can you please put on the overall working plan the document that I circulated today? It's not scrollable yet for me, but it is still downloading. Okay. I have made a few inline remarks to it, and we need to find out what we do with those. For example, line 28 on the second page is what does the sentence final stage of registration on ISO 361-1 mean actually? Any comments? Is there any comments to the document? Bart?
I don't have any comments. It's very slow. Yeah.
Is there any comments?
Martin has his hand up, Eberhard.
Okay, Martin.
Thanks, Eberhard. I'm not sure who added the comment in orange, but the one you referred to, for example, as an example in line 28, I think. Certainly, I find it difficult to understand what that particular phrase means. I think it really means the final stage. stage of the life cycle of a registration in ISO 3166. That's my best guess, but certainly that text does need to be revisited. More importantly, I think, is the next comment, and that's repeated elsewhere in the text, at line 42, and that definitely does need a clear revision, because the CCNSO, I do not think, has any role in setting policy on exception reserve lists. Focus the comments were on the exception reserve list. That is something for ISO, and we have to live and work with the results from ISO. Thank you.
Okay. It was difficult to understand what you were saying. From the loudness type. But I see on the notes that you basically agree with me that we need to change the language there. Can you perhaps propose some language and send it to the list? Stephen?
For which one or for all of them?
Stephen, we can't hear you.
I was waiting for Martin to reply to your question before I asked him my question.
Sorry, didn't you hear me? I did try and respond. What I said in response to Eberhard was, did you want me to comment on or provide wording in all cases or just that I made reference to.
Okay, now I understand what's going on. Thank you.
I would prefer you to make comments on whatever you feel like. If you have got additions, improvements, please do so. Okay. Stephen, did you have to make any contribution?
No, I was just trying to get clarification from Martin on what he was discussing with regards to line 42 and CCNSO policy making role there, but I think I've got the answer to that, so thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? This is almost as easy as pulling teeth. I saw there is a comment from Peter on the chat. We will incorporate this in the note from the notes. Stephen,
going down in the section 2.2, we've got references here from IDN CCPDP. Can we get some clarification on this going forward? Because I'm in the weeds on this one. I'm lost on this, frankly, at this point, in this particular section.
What line?
Uh, 143 and 147.
Yeah,
perhaps we need some references.
This is
I need
also
to go back and look at this.
This is also flagged from my side. I would like to have a reference. I would like to incorporate in the reference in the bibliography with a clickable link so that we can easily delete this from the document. We will work on this with Bart when we are finished until the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so since I don't see any more names, we can then move on to the comparative analysis according to the agenda. I have got, I see there's a switch. The item number 5 on the agenda, initial discussion comparative analysis. Comparative analysis is in the working methods documents that we have on from line number 120, next phase is comparative analysis. So we can maybe put the working method document up again. There you go.
So that would be next phase.
Your audio is breaking up.
And comment.
Your audio is still breaking up, Eberhard.
Kim or Bart, do you have any idea what his audio status is at this point and whether we can recover him?
It's according to Kim, he still is connected, but otherwise, let me take it, say, otherwise we wait. As soon as Eberhard is back on the call, he can take it over. The goal of this session is, if you look at the comparative, the section 2.1 is on page 5, at the bottom of page 5, you see a set of questions to start initiating or to start the comparative analysis. Say, on previous calls, you agreed that we would start with a comparative analysis of the two scenarios and check where there are differences and similarity or commonalities between the two, and based on that, see if we can if the group could get a better understanding of the retirement processes. To structure the comparative analysis, we've included some questions in this document as I said, to structure the analysis itself. And so my question for you is whether you see any additional questions or whether you agree with these questions, you want to refine them before we start working on the analysis, because I think with the two scenarios almost complete, we can really start doing and digging into the retirement work itself by starting this analysis. So have a read of the questions. You've seen them before. That hasn't changed. Do you want to include additional questions? Do you think you can send them either online or already have a discussion about it? Do you want to delete any of these questions? So that was the drift of item 5 for today. Any comments? Stephen, go ahead.
Bart, with regard to the comment regarding line 132 through 134, what are we asking there, and how do we read this? What really are we trying to ask here, I guess is my question. What role is the ICANN board play at this particular juncture? Thank you.
Bart, can you answer this?
Yeah, I'm looking at the point. What you see is if you look at the documents or the scenario documents that you see, and it's formulated clumsy, I know, is that, but there has always, lately, with the last couple of retirements, there's always been a kind of arrangement between either CCTLDs individually, and NANAP is very aware of this, around the who will grandfather the previous CCTLD, that's one. And secondly, there's always been a bit of an arrangement, and you see the references in the board decisions as well, to an arrangement between around the delegation of successor TLDs. In the case of .yu, for example, the delegation of .rs, in the case of .cwg, tw, so Curacao into the, apologies, from NA to .cw. So that's what this is referring to, these type of arrangements, and they... So they were included, and is there a, should we look, or should the working group look into this?
Nenad is on.
Well, it's partly political question in terms of internal politics of the internet community in a particular country. Not sure should we this. I still do not see the point of this, not clear on the point, but it is a question who should take the grandchildren of the old domain and who should take on the new domain in case of retirement or transition. That's internal question for the country to solve. For as I am concerned, what was the problem? In what was not clear, there are two main points that were not clear in transition from U to RS. Lines of communication were not clear, neither to ICANN, neither to RUNIX. Who's from ICANN talking to whom in RUNIX, even when there was an organization that was delegated? And also, RUNIX was not clear who should be talking ICANN. Is it board? Is it somebody else? Is administrator, technical staff? There is no clear line of communication. Who talks to who? I think there is the more question here for a clear guidance than who should take on the domain. I'm not sure. Did I get my point clear?
In different instances of retirement, different ways of handling this have been adopted, and that's the main reason why we're doing all of this. Stephen?
Thank you, Everhart, Stephen, for the record. Bart, if you could put your CCNSO historian's hat on, I am assuming that with the past retirements that have happened subsequent to the formation of CCNSO some plus years ago now, that the council has never been involved in any of this. And I personally don't see a role for the council in any of this, but I would like to hear your historical perspective and opinion on this matter. Thank you.
Stephen, this is Bart. No, council has not been involved in any particular retirement or effectively in any particular delegation or transfer for that matter. So that's one. It's more a matter of question whether if you look at, I know we had a debate, I think it was even at one of the face-to-face meetings, and around the issue report, if you look at some of the decisions, the board decisions on retirement, you could construe them and see them as a kind that it includes a condition for delegation. The way retirement of .yu was structured, it was part of the decision around the delegation of .rs and .me. The way the retirement of .an was structured, at the ICANN board level, and that's the publicly available, is it was included in the decision around the delegation and as part of the delegation and then as an arrangement with the manager of .cw, so for Curaçao. And this is, Stephen, the council had nothing to do with this because these are individual cases and there is no role for council or for the CCNSO in individual cases. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to get clarification.
I also agree that council has no role to play because it's an issue between a CCTLD manager and the PTI/ICANN. Ninat?
Like I said, I'm not sure I was clear. I don't think this, as I read these lines and these questions, it implies that this working group should make its opinion of what is the role of the current or future CCTLD manager in some country. I'm not sure that's our scope. But what I do think should be our scope, who is exactly in ICANN is in charge of following through, monitoring, reporting on the process of CCTLD retirement.
I can agree with part of this, but it is very clear that at retirement, the CCTLD manager of the retiring CCTLD is the the party on the one side. Let's put it like this.
Yes, but ICANN has many bodies. Which one is in charge of the process of retirement in ICANN? Is it board? If you put in, okay, I'll continue, nobody says that. And if you put this in perspective, what is retirement? Not in terms of documents and in terms of document politics, procedures, in technical terms. You can delete domain or disable it in several ways. It can be done on the side of ICANN, can be done on the side of the CCTLD manager. How it is done, technically.
Exactly.
And that implies who transitions, who, I'm saying this because the technical solution is tied to who monitors and enforces the process, let me put it that way.
Exactly. It is for us to propose a policy who is going to be dealing with this on ICANN's side. My view on this is that the PTY is dealing with this. However, the ICANN board is going to be the final decision maker. I do not know whether the ICANN board will be the decision maker on starting a retirement process, but they will most certainly be the decision maker on finalizing the retirement process. Anybody else have anything to say to it? Martin?
Thanks, Eberhard. Martin Boyle here. Yes, I agree with what you say that the ICANN board will be involved, but surely the whole purpose of this exercise is to identify where the deeds need to be made. In this particular case, I think Nenad is entirely right that what we're looking at is a decision that is a decision made at the national level, and we need to write the rules in such a way that it is clear as to what, where the responsibility for decisions lies, rather than just saying, well, actually, at the end of the day, it goes to the ICANN board, and the ICANN board have the last say. I don't think they do. They just have to make sure they are carrying out the policy being laid out, and that's what our role actually is.
We need to identify what condition or status or whatever you call it, triggers a retirement. That is something that is beyond the control of ICANN, and or the CCTLD manager, because if a national government decides they want to change a name or they want to dissolve or they want to reunite or whatever, then that has an impact on the changes that sort of the trigger. The responsibilities for triggering cannot be changed because they're beyond our control. Once the mechanism has been triggered, the responsibilities can be identified by us. Peter Koch is next.
Yeah, thank you, Eberhard. So I think what, in addition to what you said just a few seconds ago, whenever the local government decides to dissolve or rename the country, this is something that is even a step before things happen to ISO 3166. And I think something that triggers the decision, or maybe just triggers the decision process, starts when the changes apply to 3166. We can talk about early warnings and so on and so forth with some insight into the inner workings of the MA, but at some point in time, the code is going to go. The difficulty today seems to be that, in contrast to previous practice, where they had a newsletter, you had an external action. A newsletter would be received, and then you knew that the code was gone or was changed. Today, there is only a change to the online browsing platform or to the code repository. And at some point in time, or that's probably operational, at some point in time, this needs to be monitored to be sure that the changes are observed. But and then there's a process, and we can discuss whether this immediately triggers the retirement or there is some process started that ends in deciding that there should be a retirement. But that's probably detail to be worked out once we have the work plan ready. Thank you.
I agree with you, but a change of code element follows a change in to the country in some or other, and none of this is happening out of the blue. This is always taking some time. It's not happened that the government decides on the spur of the moment, without any warning, we are going to dissolve and please change the name, and then nobody knows about it. I think we should agree that once the code element change, that a retirement process should be triggered. How we do this is then an implementation question. But the main point needs to be what is starting the process. And you're quite right; it should be a change in code element. Nenad?
It's not just how do you start the process, it's how you finish it. So in that terms, I would like to add a point for 2.2, how to ensure that retirement will be finished. What if CCTLB one doesn't listen to the board decisions and do on its own? Board decisions say turn off the domain, and CCTLB says no, we won't.
Please mute your microphone. CCTLB manager cannot refuse or is not, because it's a hierarchical delegation from the root down. If the CCTLD is removed from the root zone, it doesn't matter whether the CCTLD manager wants to act or not. It will not be seen in the DNS any longer. The question is not so much whether a CCTLD manager can decide now the TLD remains delegated. In the past, what happened in the case of .su was that the code element was removed onto exceptionally reserved. And in other words, if a ccTLD manager wants to keep the domain alive, he must find one way or other to move the code element instead to transitionally reserved onto exceptionally reserved. And what we need to decide is whether if that happens, it automatically results in the TLD remaining. In the case of .su, this happened, but there is no real policy, or rather the ICANN board's practice has been this, to do this if there is a reasonable use. Like EU and SU was an exception of the exception, I think. I always find it's easier to start at the beginning and finish at the end, so that as far as the process is concerned, we should maybe also start at the beginning. Look what triggers this, and when we have got that, then we go on there. But I don't think we can separate the delegation of the ccTLD from the status of the corresponding code element. The code element goes into transitionally reserved. The ccTLD has to be undelegated or retired. If it goes to exceptionally reserved, that's a matter for debate, so we have to write a policy on this. But the removal of the change in code element is not for us to decide. This is something totally beyond our scope. But
just for the record, Eberhard, if you look at the dates of, say, the change of code element or the removal of .su from the Article 6 list and an inclusion in the exception reserve, there are quite a few years in between. So that is probably blurring some of the lines around .su as well. So I think .su was added somewhere in the late 2000s, so around 2008, I'm not sure, but around that time. And by that time, .su was removed from Article 6, or say from that list of country names for quite some time. So that's another complexity around .su.
The time frames that from which what has to happen with regard to retirement are another issue that we can deal with once we have the principles right. I personally find that the time frame used for .na was AN was very short, and when CW wanted an extension, the board was, or PTR was actually very difficult, very reluctant to give them a long extension, and they only give them a short extension. That's, I would consider, arbitrary, and for that maybe we also need to do policy. But as far as our work is concerned, we should start at the beginning and first get the policy, sort of the what needs to be done, right? And then we can discuss when what needs to be done.
No, Eberhard, I agree. I just want to mention this, that say the you refer to the change of, I would say, from .su as included in the list of country names, as it is called, so that's Article 6, and then move and that to the exception reserved list. And that created a special case. There was quite some time between the between the removal of the code element dosage for SU and then moving it into the exceptional reserve. I think there was almost 15 years in between. And so it wasn't retired in the meantime, so that's a new set of circumstances. So combining the two is just a word of warning in that respect. And say whatever the time, say if the retirement process is triggered and how long this should take, that's another question. They probably, in the case of maybe this to stress my argument, said take the case of DOS-AN. DOS-AN was the code element was removed in 2010, and so no action, assume no action was taken, like in DOS-SU. And in 2025, it was added to the exception reserve list. And that is the reason why it's still included like others. So, but you have this weary period in between, say, 2010 and 2025, where in principle, it says the retirement process could have been triggered. I just wanted to clarify.
I want predictability so that when it happens, everybody involved knows what's going to happen and roughly when this is going to happen. If we cannot agree on time frames now, then we must write a policy that both parties need to agree on a time frame. But what's important and what the role of our working group is to write a policy so everybody concerned knows this is going to happen. Okay. We have reached the full hour mark. And not that I want to limit debate in any way, but that leaves us 30 minutes for this and the rest. And unless I hear or read important contributions or hear see hands going up, I think we can move on to the next topic. Okay.
Hey, Bart. This is Bart. Just going back to the point about the comparative analysis, may I ask the working group members, and I'll include it again as a kind of action item, if you think there are questions that could drive the comparative analysis, please send them to the list so we can start working on them. And look more in depth into the two scenarios and take them as lessons for lessons learned from the past, and then we have an understanding what needs to be addressed by the policy. But if you have any questions or you want to change the questions in the document, and we do have some comments already, please send them to the list. That was it. Eva, back to you.
As you can see, I agreed with this, and the way we are going to do this is, as we discussed from now on, is that longer documents will be drafted by staff and then sent to me for putting into kerning, otherwise, so that we have a a document that we can work off on the list, that we all have the same document and we all have the same version and we all know where we are departing from. Okay. And for any other business, I would like to sort of discuss shortly the rotation scheme. Kim has sent out to the chairs and co-chair and the issue manager a proposal for a six-hour and a rotation, which we are currently discussing. We are looking at the times with regards to the members so that we can find out what's most convenient times for everybody concerned in all the time zones so that everybody gets affected, but only everybody gets affected as little as possible or as little as necessary. The final scheme that we will arrive at in management will then post it to the list so that we can discuss it at the latest at the San Juan meeting and be done with it at completion of that meeting. Are there any comments on that? Stephen? No, it's an agreement. Okay. Stephen, raise your hand. Do you're on?
Yeah, I looked at that, and I think we really need to take the approach that, based on the geographic locations of the majority of the membership relative to UTC, that we try to optimize meeting times so that we get maximal participation. And if that means I'm a fringe person and have to get up late or get up early, I'm happy to do that. But the important, the overriding thing here is really to get maximal participation from the membership and make it most convenient most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time for the majority of the membership so we get maximal participation in these teleconference calls. That's my two cents on that. Thanks.
Thank you. I believe in maximum participation, but I'm also believing in sharing the pain and making it as painless as possible.
I also believe in those concepts, so we got to sort this out.
Yeah. I note from Peter from in the chat that we must consider the daylight saving times. We will put the meetings out in UTC, but we're looking at a spreadsheet where we put the time frames in so that we can see. We also look at where the members are so that we can try to make it as convenient as possible for everybody. And I don't think it's really nice to say there is one person in New Zealand and one person on the West Coast, so they have got to suffer. Which is not what we're saying. We'll try to find a scheme where everybody has to get up at least once in the middle of the night, but at a convenient hour. Okay, I think that is there any other business? Stephen?
I just would like to make the group aware that the next scheduled meeting on 22nd February coincides with the APTLD meeting in Kathmandu, Nepal. And those of us who have been on this meeting, including myself, will be somewhat bandwidth impaired. So I'm not sure what level of active participation we will be able to achieve at the next meeting. I just want to make staff and the group aware of that. I know of at least three members of this group that will be in Kathmandu at the APTLD meeting, and we may or may not be able to participate depending on what bandwidth we can muster. Thank you.
Please let me send me an email when the meeting is. Maybe we postpone by a week. Yeah, send me some details. I don't know exactly when that meeting is. It should be possible to postpone the meeting if that's the case. But we can look at this.
A 1 week postponement probably might be in order. I'll send you the details, Everhart. Cheers.
Yeah, we discuss it with the list and with management, and because I feel it's important that we should have maximum participation. Is there anything else as with regards to any other business? I see this is not the case. So then, barring a change in date regarding to the APTLD meeting, we would meet at 9 o'clock UTC on the 22nd, but we will review this as discussed. Okay, if I don't see or hear anything else, I would then declare this meeting closed and thank everybody for participating.